Today's sermon is Spiritual Maturity is Transformation, and the subtitle, The Difficult Journey. Okay, The Difficult Journey. The passage is from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And God's people said, last Sunday, the title of the sermon was Growing into Spiritual Maturity. And I had 2 points last Sunday, if you remember. First point was prioritize your spiritual life. And second point was take consistent little step in your spiritual life. Now, you know, some grow older. As we all grow old, but some grow older, but they never change. Right? Some grow older and become more immature as they grow older. Now, spiritual maturity is a continuous journey. Right? It's a continuous journey of change, of growth, and development. Now, it is a journey of growth where, you know, again, you love God more and more and more. You know, since I became a Christian all these years, when I look back, okay, if you're growing spiritually more mature, I'm loving God more and more and more. But if you look at your spiritual life, I go, you know, I love God, 10 years ago, but, you know, I love God less now. You need to really, take care of that. You got to take care of that. What's going on? You got to figure that out. You see, spiritual maturity, over time, there's greater intimacy, there's greater connection, and there's greater relationship with God. And, you know, when you are becoming more spiritually mature, you become more humble. At the same time, there's greater spiritual authority. And there's greater spiritual authority. You walk in greater healing. You walk in greater freedom. Spiritual maturity is about becoming more like Christ. Say to your neighbor, I want to be more like Christ. So your character, right, your disposition, your words, your action emulate the character of Jesus Christ himself. So there is more compassion, more empathy, more selfless giving, and more dignified living. You become more and more like Christ. Now, spiritual maturity is not more, it's more than just retaining information. Okay? Spiritual maturity is more than just retaining information. There are some who think that just gaining knowledge makes us spiritually mature. You know, some people have great Bible knowledge. Right? And I could say this honestly, they have great Bible knowledge, but they are spiritually immature. Right? They're spiritually immature. Being spiritually mature is not a Christian who has all the answers. That's not spiritual maturity. Not someone who took systematic theology in seminary. You know, I took systematic theology in seminary, so I must be spiritually mature. It's not a Christian that can teach on every doctrine in the Bible. Right? More than head knowledge, more than retaining information, the spiritual maturity, there's an emphasis on transformation. Okay? There's an emphasis on transformation. Okay? Not information, but transformation. And because it's about transformation, and because spiritual maturity is about transformation, I want to emphasize this one point. The journey of spiritual maturity is difficult. Honestly, it's very difficult. If you desire to grow, if you desire to be more spiritually mature, why is this journey difficult? Why is this journey difficult? Because on this journey, for God to transform you, God touches the hidden things of your heart. God touches the area of your life you don't want anyone else to touch. God touches the root issues of your life. God touches your shame, your brokenness, your deepest fear, and your greatest pain. If you desire spiritual maturity, and you know, some people just want to, know the Bible, the information in the Bible. I just want to memorize the scripture. But you know the Bible, you memorize scripture. Why? To transform your life, not just have information in your head. And so if you desire to be spiritually mature, you know what God's going to do? You know, he's going to, if there's pride in your heart, he's going to touch the pride. If there's selfishness in your life, he's going to touch the selfishness. If there's rebellion, you know what God's going to do? He's going to touch the rebellion. But what we do, God touches the pride, we just ignore God. Right? And I want to encourage you, don't ignore God. He touches it so that he could transform your life. God touches your weaknesses, your blind spots, the hidden things of your heart. Why? Why would God touch all the messy things in your life? Most of us, you know, when you get to know somebody, all the messy things in their life, you don't want to touch. Can you just, you know, take care of it yourself? You don't want to touch the messy things in other people's life. Right? Why would God touch the messy things in your life? God doesn't need a computer that collects data. You are created, the Bible says, in God's image and God's likeness. You see, God died for you so that he can redeem you. God touches the messy part of your life to give you new life. Now, in the gospel, the Pharisee in the time of Jesus, and if you study the gospel, Jesus would point things out about the Pharisees. He would point things. He would shine light on their pride, the Pharisees' pride, their jealousy, their worldly ambition, their self-righteousness. Jesus would shine the light about their self-righteousness. But what did the Pharisee do? The Pharisee rejected Jesus. They went their own way. They went their own way, and they became blind. Their pride was so great, their self-righteousness was so great that they had the audacity to judge and condemn Jesus. Now, but I want to talk about Saul, who became Paul. Paul says about himself, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisee. Okay, those Pharisees that Jesus dealt with, they were proud. He says, I was more proud. They were self-righteous. He was more self-righteous. And he went even further. Paul was violent. He condemned the Christians. He put them in prison, and he condemned to death. So Paul, he says about himself, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisee. And what happened? Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. And again, he was self-righteous. He was violent. He was proud. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, something the Pharisees in the scripture, in the gospel didn't do, he humbled himself. And his life was redeemed and transformed. Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth because I'm looking at my spiritual journey of growth. Spiritual maturity, this journey is not easy. Hello? It's not easy. And the reason it's not easy is because God touches the area you don't want anyone else to touch. Spiritual maturity is not easy because it requires you wrestling with God. You know, again, you're not a computer that just retains information. To reset a computer is very easy, right? Press a couple buttons and reset. All the virus and everything could be reset. But you're not a computer. You're created in God's image and likeness. And God had to redeem you. He had to die for you. And he has to personally work on you. You know, so it requires wrestling with God. So that's one of the reasons it's not easy. It's not easy because when God touches the brokenness, the messy part of your heart, your greatest pain, your greatest sin, your greatest weakness, it is so much easier to run away. It is so much easier to hide. And a lot of people do that. And many people do that. Because it's easier. Spiritual maturity is not easy. Why? Okay, if you want to go on this journey of spiritual maturity, okay, you have to be very honest with yourself. You know, a lot of people, oh, I'm so great. Okay, I'm the best at this. Right? I'm better than you. And they're not honest with themselves. If you want to go on this spiritual journey, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be humble. You have to be vulnerable. You know, I was thinking of all the reason why this journey, like all, you know, in this, I don't know, 35 years walk with the Lord, 35, almost 40 years. Why was it so hard? It was hard. It was difficult. Right? Another reason is, again, because spiritual maturity is a process. Okay? It's going to take time to transform you. Change doesn't happen immediately. Like I said, computer, change, press a button. But you are God's creation. You're created in his image and likeness. You're not a product. You know, like if you look at go to the factory, you know, iPhone, it's complicated and everything. But, and you got an iPhone, working iPhone. It's a lot more difficult to change you and I. It takes time. It takes time. Spiritual growth, you need to accept this. It helps if you accept this. Spiritual growth is not a perfect journey. It's not a perfect journey. You will stumble. There will be relapses. You will fail at times. I'm being honest with you. Those who choose to go on this journey of spiritual growth, you need to take it one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. There will be success and there will be failure. So don't let the up and down of spirituality, the spiritual journey, it will be up and down for all of us. Don't let the up and down of the spiritual journey discourage you. Let's say to your neighbor, I will not be discouraged. This is very important. You need to not be discouraged. Right? And my personal reason why spiritual growth is not easy, and to go on this journey, it requires faith. It requires trust in God. My senior pastor don't have faith. My senior pastor don't trust God. I'm trying. And it's not easy. It's not easy walking in faith. It's not easy trusting God in this broken world. Right? And if you say I'm trusting in God and I'm walking in faith, the reason it's not easy, then you're going to have to be courageous. You have to be courageous. That's why in the Bible, God tells his people, be strong and be courageous. Because this journey is scary. It's scary. Because journey of spiritual maturity, it goes against the grain. It goes against your flesh. It goes against the world. And it goes against the temptation of the devil. Now, you know, there's intense spiritual battle when you go on the journey of spiritual growth. Turn to Matthew 13, verse 19. It says this. The evil one, the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Right? Well, what was sown in their heart? God, in this passage, is talking about God sowing a seed in your heart. Right? God sowing a seed in your heart. And this passage says, when God sows a seed in your heart, okay, in my opinion, that seed represents spiritual growth. That's what seed is. It's supposed to grow. All right? The evil one comes when God sows a seed in your heart. When God is working to bring spiritual growth into your life, when there's about to be transformation, when there's about to be healing, when there's about to be deliverance, when there's about to be this victory, the Bible says the devil comes and steals the seed. I believe the devil doesn't mind if the seed is about just retaining more information. Okay? The seed is not a seed, but a hard drive. It's not doing what a seed's supposed to do. And what is the seed supposed to do? Grow. It's supposed to grow. The devil doesn't mind if you're just retaining information. The devil gets upset when the seed starts to grow. Okay? The devil gets upset when there is transformation in your life. And I can honestly say in this church, there's been transformation. There's transformation in your life. Yes, it's up and down. Okay? And day to day, you don't see any changes. Week to week, you might not see changes. Month to month. But I've known you for years. And I want to encourage you. You have changed. There's been change in your life. But the devil gets upset when the seed grows. Okay? So the devil attacks and steals the seed planted in the heart. And because the journey of spiritual growth is not easy, our reaction while we are on this journey is to get mad at ourselves or get mad at others. Remember last week? I hope you remember. In the sermon that I said the enemy wants all of us, you know, you're not doing well spiritually, right? When you're not doing well spiritually, the enemy wants us to blame others for our spiritual struggle. And the enemy steals the seed because we don't take responsibility for our spiritual life. Instead, we blame for our struggle, spiritual struggle. We could blame family. We could blame your spouse. You could blame church members. You could blame the circumstances. You could blame God. But when you fall into blame, then the devil is able to steal the seed that's planted in your heart. So I want to challenge you. If you desire to grow in this journey of spiritual growth, okay, don't get mad at yourself, okay, and don't get mad at others. Learn to release your frustration. Release your anger. Release your pain. See, this helps me. God knows that this journey is difficult. Right? You know, we think, God, he doesn't understand. He doesn't. God knows that this journey that you're going on, this spiritual journey of growth, is difficult. God is not expecting you to be perfect in this journey. You know, receive it. It should release a lot of burdens from you. God's not expecting you to be perfect on this journey. God knows that you will go up and down on this journey. He knows that there will be setbacks. Now, you know, we're all going, you know, we have this desire to go on this spiritual journey of growth. And when the enemy is trying to steal the seed that was planted, for those who are on this journey of spiritual growth, there's a struggle that you and I will go through. Okay? And what is that struggle? You will feel that you're alone. You're going to feel like you're all alone on this journey. But there will be a season where you're going to feel that you are all alone. Yes, you have good families. We have the spiritual family. You have good friends. But if you go on this journey of spiritual growth, everyone will go through a season where they feel like I'm all alone. Okay? And I want to speak, I want to talk about this because it's very important. What I see biblically, when you feel all alone, when you go on this journey of spiritual growth, okay? I don't mean you feel all alone because you sin, you're mean to everybody, you're bitter, and you know, that's not what I mean. Okay? Okay? You want to grow spiritually. You want to get closer to God. Okay? You want to do His will. And there will be season, everyone will go through this, you feel all alone. And this, I want to encourage you biblically, think about Jesus. Jesus was sinless. Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. And you see in Scripture, Jesus went through loneliness. Right? Jesus went through loneliness. In Matthew 26, Jesus with his disciple in Gethsemane. Jesus was about to face the cross, and he felt all alone. He pleaded with his disciple, "Can you just pray with me? Stay here." Jesus pleaded with his disciples, "Stay here and keep watch with me. Pray with me." See, Jesus was about to save the whole world. And at the most important time in the history of the world, because the disciple fell asleep again and again. At the most important time in the history of the world, Jesus felt all alone. Now, some truth about when you go on this spiritual journey and you're in the season of loneliness, you're in the season you feel you are all alone. Right? I want to speak into you. because we all will go through that season. First thing I want to say, that loneliness is not sin. So don't beat yourself up that you feel all alone. You're not a loser because you feel so lonely because of this spiritual journey. You're not a failure. Okay? Another thing that you need to understand about this season of loneliness when you go on this journey of spiritual growth, that loneliness is not evil. Say that to your neighbor. That feeling of loneliness. Okay? Say, that loneliness is not an evil spirit you cast out. I feel so alone. In the name of Jesus, get out. You know, it's not a spirit that you cast out. Okay? So don't let the season where you feel all alone on this journey of spiritual growth, don't let it bring any shame into your life. Don't let it bring any condemnation. Hello? Okay? God's not mad at you. Okay? He's not mad at you. See, as you are on this journey of spiritual growth, loneliness doesn't have to hurt you. Loneliness, believe it or not, can make you spiritually stronger. Yes, the devil comes to steal that seed. The devil used loneliness to steal that seed in your heart. But if you channel loneliness in a godly way, loneliness can be like a water to that seed in your heart. Loneliness can be used to help you walk out the truth. This is very biblical. Moses, he couldn't be used. So God sent him to the wilderness to be alone for 40 years in the wilderness. And it was in that time, 40 years in the wilderness, God prepared Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. God's people, he did that to the whole nation of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness again, in the desert. And the wilderness represent this journey of spiritual growth where there's a season you feel all alone. Okay? You feel all alone. And God's people spent 40 years in the desert, and God prepared his people in the desert to rise up to conquer the land of Canaan. If you look at the scripture, David lived in the desert of Judah for many years. And it was in the desert that God prepared David to become a king of Israel. Apostle Paul, you know what he wrote? He spent 3 years in the desert of Arabia. 3 years. And God prepared Paul in the desert to become one of the greatest evangelists and missionaries that ever lived. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus. And in the wilderness was to prepare Jesus to begin his ministry. He didn't do any ministry until 40 days in the wilderness. The devil can use the loneliness to steal the seed planted in your heart, or God can use the loneliness to sprout the seed so that it will grow and bear fruit. I want to share this passage, Isaiah 53, verse 3. It's talking about Jesus. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Jesus was a sinless person. He was a sinless person living with sinful parents, with sinful siblings, with sinful extended family, with sinful neighbors and townspeople, with sinful leaders and sinful nation. And I was, when you think about Jesus, you know, because I thought I had pretty, you know, hard life too, you know, and childhood. And you know, I go, no, you do not understand, you know, what I went through, right? I'm sometimes tempted to say that. But then I meet somebody who went through harder, more difficult, and more trauma. Oh, okay. But Jesus, I believe nobody could identify with Jesus, what he went through. No human being could go around Jesus and put his hand on, you know, I know exactly what you went through. No, because Jesus' loneliness reaches apex the moment he became sin for us on the cross, forsaken by his Father because of our sin. The sin of the whole world upon his shoulder. Every rejection, every abuse, every trauma, every abandonment, every neglect, he took upon himself. Jesus knew supreme rejection and supreme loneliness. And it was in this ultimate loneliness, that's why I believe when you go on, when you desire to go on the spiritual journey, the loneliness you are going through is very important. Because Jesus, in his ultimate loneliness, Jesus was used to redeem the whole world. To redeem the whole world. Jesus doesn't just, you know, understand your loneliness. He's here to help you overcome it. Because he died on your behalf, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer an alien, but you're a citizen in the kingdom of God. You're sons and daughters of God. You're a family member in the kingdom of God. Amen.